Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature.
What's up, you guys? I hope you're having a lovely start to your week. I am here with my girl and country music star, Mickey Guyton. She is such a badass, and she's literally the new country music legend. I'm not even kidding you. She just made history this year at the ACM Awards, being the first woman of color to play her own song on the show. So how about that? It's pretty amazing. She's not only a powerful vocalist, but she has a powerful voice for change. She's speaking up about things that matter, like overcoming racism and gender equality and bridging cultural gaps through her music and her message. This September, she actually released a 6-song EP called Bridges, with songs like What Are You Gonna Tell Her, about struggling with growing up against the odds, being a woman, and Black Like Me, about her own experiences with racism. So I am so proud of her for fully embracing her identity, not only being a woman in country music, but a Black woman in country music, and using her platform to create change. So Mickey, what an honor it is to have you share on the Love Freak today.
Woman, I just love you so much. We've gone through so much together. Slept on your couch.
Yes, we have. We've cried. We've laughed. We've done all the things.
All of the things together. So it's just a full circle moment. And I just love you so much. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I love you back. And I'm so truly just so proud of you. Like, I know that we've talked about the struggles of being a woman in country music and how hard that is, you know, just kind of trying to just have radio time is really kind of impossible these days.
Have any time
as a woman in country music is really, really hard. But, you know, you've really gone against a lot of odds fighting for your dream. You know, you've not only had to fight being a woman in country music, which is already hard enough, like we just mentioned, but you're also fighting being a woman of color. And I'm sorry that that's even an issue. Like, I can't believe that's ever become an issue. We bleed the same color. We have the same things going on. Like, it's sad that even has to be a thing. But what does that look and feel like to you?
Well, honestly, talking to you and someone who has been in the country music industry at certain points in their lives, it's really hard to say that my struggle is any different from yours. The one struggle that I could say might have been different and is different is whenever I would turn a song in, it was overly scrutinized more than male and female artists, because I was told that any kind of music that I put out, we've got to make sure it sounds really country, because people are going to think that you're not being genuine, that you're being disingenuous. And that was a common conversation for years for me. But in the same sense, I've watched so many amazing women, white women in country music, go through the same struggles that I have gone through and have felt discrimination just as much as I have gone through. So I don't really want to separate myself that much from you and I, because we're all kind of still dealing with that. Like, country music is very, very difficult. It discriminates against women. The entire industry discriminates against women, whether they like it or not. And so it's really hard to,
but it's funny to me. It's like, extra scrutiny for picking songs or whatever, because it might be disingenuous when it's like, whatever. Like, you grew up in Texas.
I grew up on gravel dirt roads, like where my neighborhood was in Crawford, Texas. My subdivision was right next to former President George Bush's ranch. Like, it doesn't get any countryer than that. You know, I grew up riding bikes down through ditches and climbing trees and living in the country, like where my grandma was from, like where she, the streets, we were so deep in the country that the streets had numbers, not names. So, yeah. You know,
you're a country girl through and through.
Through and through. You know, I live in the city now, but that is my roots. That is who I am. That's what made me who I am. So it's just,
and it's what you sing about. It's what you write about. It's kind of what you know. So like when they say it's disingenuous, it's that, is that because you're supposed to be singing a different kind of.
I'm expected, what people see when they see a girl that looks like me, they think I'm supposed to sing R&B.
Got it.
That's my place. That's the place that I've been put. And I have taken myself outside of the place that where I've been put. And I said, well, I like country music. I'm going to sing country music and you're not going to stop me from doing that.
Okay. And see, that's like, that's incredible. Like, you don't set any boundaries for yourself. You know, you're a woman who knows what she wants, knows who she is, and you're owning that truth and who you are 100%. Like,
yeah,
that's not an easy thing to do. First of all, just as an artist trying to figure out who you are is not easy. Mm-hmm. Like, was this always easy for you in a sense to say, this is what I want, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to be?
No, not at all. This took years and years of trial and error and pain and heartache and hitting rock bottom to get to this point. I used to be every person's yes woman. I used to try to color inside the lines and fall in line and do what I'm told and to be what everybody expected me to be and follow these certain rules to have a career. And that doesn't work for me. It really shouldn't work for anybody.
No.
In any aspect of your life, you know, from the moment, you know, I'm pregnant. And
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. And it's so weird to me because I've started thinking to myself, this baby is its own person that has its own destiny, that has its own mind, its own thoughts, its own feelings. And I'm the same way. You're the same way. We were born into this world with our own destiny and our own feelings. And for some reason, somewhere along the way, we've allowed people to control that.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure it comes from a lot of, you know, you grow up with parents that came from a certain system or certain, you're picking up different behaviors and different. How do you, as a parent, when you're moving through kind of everything you've been through, like, how do you want to take your child and raise your child in a way that's like, okay, I want to teach my kid.
Yeah.
I want to allow them to be everything they are, but I also have to teach them
there's boundaries.
Yeah, you know.
You know, I just want to be a source of support. And the biggest thing that I want to teach my child is that they do have their own mind and they are their own person and they do have a voice. And to use that voice and to speak up and to speak out. Mm. You know, I was taught, you know, respect your elders, as you absolutely should respect your elders. You 100% should, but sometimes your elders are not always respectful back. Mm. And sometimes your elders aren't always honest or aren't always taking care of you. And it's like, it's trying to find a balance of how to teach this child how to navigate that side of the world. Because once you're 18, you are technically considered an adult. You're tried as an adult. you are going off into adulthood. So even then, like, I want this child to have their own individual mind and be respectful and also demand respect back.
Absolutely. I think those are like the most important things you can learn growing
up.
Yeah. You know, but it's like we're in a time now, we're looking at everything and we're realizing like all of these systems and all of these programs and mentalities that aren't serving us anymore, that really are generational teachings that have been passed down and passed down and passed down, and racism really being one of those, you know. And you can look at that. I mean, I can even see it like in my parents' generation, like the things that they've kind of taught me growing up, you know. You know, for a while, I remember thinking growing up in the South that it wasn't okay for a white woman to marry a black man. You know, that was just taught as normal. That was just normal. And that was taught to me. And then I grow up and I look at that and I'm like,
why?
So yeah. if I have a black man that treats me incredible and amazing and wonderful,
how's it wrong?
How is that wrong? Yeah. Like I'm in that, but that's taught.
It is taught.
So it's like, how do we get out of those? How do we reteach now? And how do we, is it just bringing awareness to people? And are people staying stuck in their ways? Or is it just up to us to raise the generations differently? Like, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I know that we can't change everybody, but I saw this Sarah Silverman interview today, this morning actually, talking about cancel culture. And it was such a powerful interview because she was talking about how, you know, everybody just runs towards love and acceptance, right? That's what we want. And just because someone's thinking is wrong doesn't mean that it can't be altered or changed. And we can't just write people off for, you know, maybe thinking, being ignorant or thinking horrible things. Like you said, you grew up thinking that a white woman with a black man was wrong, right?
Right.
And that was something you thought in your childhood. Can you imagine if someone took that information now and canceled you for it? Like, you were able to evolve and grow and realize, like, we all can have teachable moments. And I think that that's something now that we have to realize. Like, first of all, we need to be unapologetically anti-racist.
Yeah.
Like, we all, like, that cannot be acceptable. If you see someone being racist, you have to call it out. And that goes for myself too, as a black woman. If I see a black person being racist against a white person, I absolutely 100% have to stand up and say, that is not allowed. That
absolutely
is
allowed. Yeah.
It goes both ways. And also, it's just, you can't cancel people. Like, everybody has the potential to change. Everybody has the potential for their eyes to open and realize, oh, maybe what I was thinking was wrong. I grew up thinking gay was wrong. And
sure, same. Now, yeah.
Turned out I have so many gay people in my life from the moment I was a little girl up until now that I adore and love so much. And I was able to change my frame of thinking.
Absolutely.
You know,
I had someone in the church tell me one time, I remember, because I grew up thinking, you know, being gay was wrong or whatever. And I never agreed with it. It never, like, you know, when something just doesn't align well in your stomach, it just like, you're like, oh my gosh, that just deep down on like this super gut level, like this just,
it doesn't seem right. It never seemed right.
Well, what doesn't seem right about it is because, and this is what I truly believe. I truly believe this on every level, that like what we are at the core is love and joy and acceptance and all of those things. Right. And so anything that denies that truth when it comes to rejection or judgment or all these things, those things that deny love, hate, and all those things that aren't of that, it doesn't align with who we truly are. So it feels wrong deep down up in our gut, because that's where
absolutely,
you know, our worth and who we are and all we are kind of resides spiritually.
God says God is love.
Right. So I really think that it feels wrong because it just denies what we are. Mm-hmm. But I had someone tell me in church, say, oh, well, you have a gay friend, or whatever. You have to tell them that this is not, that they're not made this way and this is not how they are. And I looked at that person, who I respect still, I still respect this person to this day, and I said, I love you, but I will never, ever tell someone that.
Ever.
And I was in high school when I said that. I was like, that feels so wrong on the at the core level. And so I just went off on a tangent, but
no, it's the truth. It's 100% truth. My best friend in life, I've known her since I was 15 years old. She's gay, married to her wife. They have two sons. When she came out to me, so many of her friends quit being her friend. I didn't. I was like, I didn't know that that was even an option. Like, you're my friend. I love you.
Right.
You
exactly.
know?
Yes. And I think, and that, and doesn't that feel good? And how, I mean, imagine how amazing that feels on the other end when you're truly
like, thank
accepted.
God. Like, I, yeah. And that's God. Like, that's real. It, that's God's love.
Well, it's acceptance, mm-hmm. right? It's absolutely. Unconditional acceptance, mm-hmm. and that is fundamentally what we are. And I think when we disagree with people, and when we feel like maybe people are being racist or aren't seeing kind of the mentalities that they need to change, I think we have to give grace and love to those people as well. Even as hard as that is, we have to fully accept them where they are as well. And I think that I struggle with that on a daily basis, because just as much as we are craving them to accept people of color or gay people or whatever, this is where they are.
Exactly. And it could have been something that they were raised. It's something you are taught. And
you are taught.
Then teach yourself that. And that's why this Sarah Silverman interview, I'll send it to you. It was so powerful for me. It was a lesson for me today, because you're instantly like, yes, be anti-racist, but also you have to give grace where you have to give grace, because you would want the same in return.
Absolutely.
None of us are perfect, no matter who you are. No matter what, none of us are perfect. And you're right. We have to accept people where they are. And we're not going to change everybody's minds.
We're not. But the thing that's important, and the thing that you are doing, we cannot change everybody's minds. We can't accept people, but we can also make people aware.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there was a point I was opening for a major tour, and I was standing in line doing an after show signing, and I was literally in the middle of getting ready to hug this precious child with Down syndrome who didn't see me as anything other than just this cool person. And as I went to hug this kid, someone called me the N-word as they were walking.
You're kidding.
I'm not. And nobody said anything. Like, nobody turned around. Everybody gasped for sure, but nobody said anything. And here I am about to hug this child that had Down syndrome. And it was so crazy. Like, you know, a Black woman is getting ready to hug this child with a disability. And it's not a disability. It's with a child with special needs. That's different.
Sure. Sure.
And I was getting ready to hug this child with special needs. And they said that to two people that probably just want acceptance, right? And instead of me yelling and oh, hell no, mother, no.
Right.
Which I very much so wanted to do. I just said, sure. I just said, God bless you. And I hope whoever that person was, when they walked to their car and the reaction they thought that they were going to get from me, they did not. And I hope that changed them. And I hope that made them not want to ever say that to somebody again.
But see, that's beautiful. And I love your response to that, because you chose love.
Yeah.
You know, when you feed into fear and you feed into hate, it just creates more and more and more.
More chaos.
But what you did, love, you know, I really feel like it shines a light. And it shines a light on that darkness.
You could start a campaign called Choose Love Campaign or something.
I believe it. I mean, that's what this podcast is all about, the love freak. It's all about aligning with the love and the frequency of love and shining a light. It's like you shone a light on that person, whether they decided to look at it or not is not up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to them. But you shone a light, and I hope that they did recognize, hey, this is not okay, you know?
Yeah. You never know. You don't know. So I love that. Courtney.
Oh yeah. No, it's like, you're supposed to do this. Like I said this to you before a second ago, like you're supposed to be this spokesperson, like, and especially in country music, you know, I feel like there's kind of a lot of questionable areas sometimes in that genre. But here you are, and you just released this incredible EP, that tackles, you know, a lot of these issues that we're facing with racism and divide
and
you know, and you decided that you you haven't always been talking about this in your music.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know,
no,
what, why now? Like, obviously there's a lot going on, but what made you say enough is enough?
Well, I had hit rock bottom, and I had already started writing all of these songs, and I had a crazy conversation with my husband one night, and I asked him, I said, why do you think country music isn't working for me? And he said, because you're running away from everything that makes you different. And that struck such a chord with me, because I feel like so often, I know, and it's not just me as a Black woman, it's every single human being that is pursuing country music. We all have so many unique stories about ourselves that we're not telling.
Yep.
And so I started
there. Because we can't. There's boxes. There's too many
boxes. There's
boxes
that we're supposed to fit in, right? And I had last year, I want to say, like at the very end of the year, I had wrote Rosé.
Love that song.
It's a great song. And I had presented it to my label, and I felt like it checked every single box that you could ever check on a country song for a woman. Up-tempo, you know, they always want that up-tempo unicorn, cleverly written, great track, all of the things. And somebody on my label said, I don't know if that song's going to bring Mickey back. Again, the double standards, the scrutinizing of me as an artist, if that had been any other artist that had turned in that song, woman, white, that song would have been put out to radio.
Right.
And I say that with confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was so frustrated, and I went to such a dark place. Like I actually went through a depression. That I didn't tell anybody, and I just couldn't. It was just hurtful, because it was like I realized I will never be enough. I will never be enough for these people. And after I picked myself up out of that depression, and it was a few months, and I healed, I got myself up out of that. And I stepped outside of music, and I was like, what is my purpose here? Am I writing music for myself? Am I writing music to be accepted? And then I was writing music to be accepted. And then I said, F that voice. No, 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 no.
dog mom.
Dog mom. They're wanting to go play. And I started just looking at the industry as a whole And like, as hard as it is for me to get music out, like I love so many women that are in country music that have incredible voices. You know, when you were singing country music, like your voice is insane, you know, like the notes that you hit, and so many other women, like it's not just me, basically every single woman that's out is dealing with this exact same scenario. And that is a problem. Like it's, and as a Black woman that knows what discrimination feels like, to see other women being discriminated against and they don't even realize it.
Right, right.
They don't even realize the discrimination that they're facing.
Right.
And that we're no different.
Yep.
And I was just like, I have a voice and I have nothing else left to lose. It's not like I'm going to lose any support from country radio. They're not going to support me anyway. I've got to just screw what everybody else's feelings and write what's right.
Write what's you, write what you're dealing with.
Write what I'm dealing with and stand up for what is right. And anybody that gets mad at me for standing up for what is right, they're the problem. It's not me.
Absolutely. I love that so much. I love it. And that led you to write songs like What Are You Gonna Tell Her?
Yeah.
And that's talking about, here, I'll let you explain it. But I love that song, by the way.
So I wrote What Are You Gonna Tell Her this year in 2020. And I was at a Grammy after party. I quit drinking, by the way. I mean, I'm pregnant and I quit drinking, but I had quit drinking
before.
Mm-hmm. Way before. I'd quit drinking September of last year. And I was at the Universal Grammy after party here in LA before the pandemic struck us. And I remember looking around that room and I saw Billie Eilish and I saw Hailee Steinfeld. I was on some red carpet that I did not belong on. People were looking at me like, who is she? Oh, honey, you're supposed to go on that line, not this line. This is for Universal artists, not. I'm like, well, I am.
Right, right. Wow. And,
you know, I was feeling all of that. So my mind was very clear. And I remember looking and looking at these beautiful women. And the common denominator around the room, where there are a whole bunch of men and their black suits and their red velvet suits and they're, you know, drinking their scotch and their whatever whiskeys and filling themselves in this room full of celebrities. And I thought to myself, what did every one of these women have to go through to get to this point?
Wow.
And I had written Black Like Me at this point. And I remember I was trying to get this song playlisted on like Spotify and all of that. And so I went to go and meet with some big wig at one of these streaming platforms, this white guy, like head of the head of the head of the head, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
My husband was walking behind so I could look like I was working and whatever. And I walk up to this guy. I perked up in my dress. I batted my big mink eyelashes and said, nice to meet you. And I remember I was so disgusted with myself.
Wow.
That I needed to perk up and bat my mink eyelashes and shake my hand like so and pitch my voice up a little bit for an opportunity to sing a social conscious song like Black Like Me.
Wow.
And I walked away from there like completely ashamed of myself, because we shouldn't have to do that.
No.
We should be able to show up in a studio with our hair in a ponytail and no makeup on.
Exactly.
And play our music and you hear that.
Exactly.
And so I had a writing session in Nashville. So that was on a Sunday. I flew to Nashville on a Monday morning at like 5 a.m. got my car, drove to my writing session, and we wrote What Are You Gonna Tell Her? And that song was all based off of my emotions of like everything coming to light and to the surface, every pain, every artist that I've seen and love struggle to be accepted in the music industry and country music, and my own struggles. I've watched heads of major record labels, like women, still fighting and being discounted, and they're the heads of record labels. I've watched it, I've seen it, I've heard it.
Wow.
And so those were all of my emotions coming out in that song.
And they come out. I mean, that song, Black Like Me, and What Are You Gonna Tell Her? I mean, gosh, all the songs on your EP are ridiculous. But like those two in particular, I'm just like, oh my God, you know? And then I'm sitting here listening to you tell this story, and I'm thinking about how you're pregnant and you're having a little boy, you know? And I'm thinking about everything that's happening, you know, not just with women, but with race and just with kind of the world that's the way that it is. And I'm sitting here wondering, you know, like, what are you going to tell him? What are you going to tell him growing up in a world, you know, as a Black man? I'm curious, like, I'm going to let you take it.
One thing that's been heavy is knowing that if things don't change, I'm going to have the talk with my son. And that talk is something that every Black parent, I'm sure every Mexican parent, has to tell their child when they get pulled over by law enforcement, how to act, how to present themselves so that they don't get in a possible situation where they're shot. I'm going to have that talk with my son.
Wow.
As of right now, I have to have that talk with my son.
Yeah.
He's not even born yet.
Yeah. So you're preparing yourself for that chat.
Yeah, I'm preparing for it. I've seen law enforcement treat my husband unjustly before. And it's scary. It's heavy. Like, I think about this boy and what he's going to have to grow up. He's got to be strong, and he's got to be masculine, and he's got to have all of these things. And, you know, it's terrifying, but it's also, I want him to know how he needs to treat women as well. Like, don't get it twisted. He is going to be a gentleman. My husband and I talk about it all the time. He will know how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and opening doors for every woman, no matter how big, small, old, or young.
I just love seeing this come full circle in a way of like, it's crazy. Release a song, like, what are you going to tell her? You know, and then here you are, you're having a little boy that, yes, you are going to have a hard conversation, unfortunately, because of the, you know, the creations that we've kind of made in this world, just the injustices and everything. But the fact that you have the ability to raise a man who respects women after everything that you've kind of gone through. And I just think that that's a full circle moment in a really beautiful, beautiful way. For you.
Oh, I love it. Just even watching how my husband is with women and how he treats the women in his office. And it's beautiful. Like, he definitely will be such a great example in how he treats women. He respects them and loves them and nurtures them. He nurtures me.
Yes. Obviously, that comment that he made about, you know, you just running from everything that you are. I'm just like, that's support on another level.
It's
someone that can say that.
I tell, like, he's a businessman, and I tell all of my musician friends, if you need like any kind of direction in your career, like, he is the person to ask. Like, It's so honest and so dead on, but it wasn't until I talked to him that he showed me and showed me the power that I actually have in my voice. I didn't realize that I had a powerful voice, and we have a powerful voice and we don't even realize it.
100%. We all have like these really unique, amazing experiences based off of where we come from and how we're raised and what we can talk about and what we can, how we can promote change and the expansion of consciousness. I mean, that's kind of, I really believe that we're all here to just evolve and grow and spiritual and emotional and just consciously, you know, and we're all encouraging and helping each other in that process just by coming from different experiences. So it's just really cool to hear your perspective. And I got to ask you, you know, you're changing the game in so many ways. You just made history by being the first Black woman to perform her own song on the ACM Awards. And you're just moving through all of this resistance. I'm so impressed. And I just got to ask, like, what do you get up and tell yourself every morning? Like, what is your mission in tackling each day with some of this resistance that you feel and some of the pressures and everything that you deal with on a daily basis? How do you move through this?
Well, I've realized that we're so much stronger as a unit than every man for himself, every woman for herself. And within my career, I've realized, like, you know, everybody says, oh, women, we support women. And I feel like you have to do that in every meaning of the word, even if your career isn't where it wants to be yet. And me thinking like that, it helps the cause, because it's not just about me. It's not just about my career happening. It's literally about all of our careers collectively as a whole coming together and happening as a unit. We can't do it by ourselves. And so as I'm trying to be this African-American woman in country music, there are other African-American women in country music that want to make it, that would never have the opportunities. There's other women, period, that want their opportunities. So I let people know I am your oyster, I guess you could say. And use me in every way that you can, because when we all make it, when one makes it, we all make it.
Absolutely.
Really, really mean that. And take out your egos and your jealousies and all that aside. That is really what matters, is giving everybody opportunities to be heard and have their voices heard. Because again, the more women make it, the more tours there are.
Yep.
The more opportunities happen, because there's more of a presence. And when there isn't a presence, where are we going to get our opportunities?
Absolutely.
Because it's been made very, very clear that only a few of us can make it at a time, and that's not true.
Yep. You make a great point, and it's just you're paving the way for women of color. You're paving the way for other women.
Look at the Black girl. Look at the Black girl magic movement that has been happening. This resurgence of Black women and lifting themselves up in this culture. That is what women in country music need to do.
Absolutely. Pave the way for each other. You're right. We're in this together. Let's create more opportunities for each other. I think that's beautiful.
With opportunity comes possibility.
Yep.
And we've got to bring each other up in these times, because if not, we're never going to get anywhere.
No. You're right. So Mickey, I just got to thank you so much for what you're doing for women, what you're doing for people of color. The message that you are sending out to the world is truly life-giving, life-changing. It's just all about acceptance. And
it's all about love.
It's all about love. And just thank you for not making these things okay, not sweeping these issues under the rug, and which a lot of us are, you know, we're doing in a way by not talking about them and bringing awareness to them. And you're not doing it in a way that promotes anger or hate. You're doing it in a way that promotes acceptance and love. You're making such a difference. You are changing people. You are bringing awareness to people. So thank you for allowing us to see that it's okay to be 100% ourselves, no matter the resistance.
No matter.
Gosh, just I could name off all these things that you're doing. You know, like I feel like resistance is really just created when we deny what is. You know, resistance is happening for you when people, you know, for people of color in particular, for women, because we're denying love of all people. You know, so we're refusing to see like that we're all equal.
And acceptance.
Yeah. So you're so talented, my friend, and you're worth all of your success. I'm just so honored to know you and to have you on this podcast to share. So thank you so much for being on the Love Freak.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.